Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you will get your hymnals out and open up to hymn 279. 279. It's all the way back in the Christmas section. And we are going to sing the first verse a cappella, but maybe Judy, you can give us the starting note, because I'm tempted to start us way too low. Okay, here we go.
Oh, little.
The text for today's sermon is our Old Testament lesson. God was sending Samuel to Bethlehem to anoint a new king for Israel. And this is the story of why Jesus was born in Bethlehem and why that was important. Now, I know it sounds exciting, right? Bethlehem, that's where Christmas happened. That's where Jesus was born. But on top of it not being a very special place at that time, it was also a very dangerous place for Samuel to travel to. So he, of course, had some reservations about it. But Samuel was obedient to God and went to Bethlehem doing exactly what God said to do along the way. So God sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to anoint one of his sons to be king. Jesse brought seven of his sons, and I wonder if they were all lined up like a bridal party, you know, tallest to shortest, oldest to youngest. Samuel first saw Eliab. And he was convinced that this was the new king. He was tall and dark and handsome, just like a GQ model. Of course this must be the new king. But God rebuked Samuel and said, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So next came in Abinadab, and God said no, and then Shammah, and then four more sons, and God said no to all of them. So Samuel asked Jesse, "Are you sure this is everyone? Do you have any more sons?" And Jesse said, "Well, there is David, but he's out in the field keeping sheep." And Samuel said, "Bring him here." And they waited until he came. The youngest, the smallest, the shepherd boy. God has a special place in God's heart for shepherds. And when the small shepherd boy came in, the Lord told Samuel that he was the one, that he would be the king of Israel. And so Samuel anointed him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. I think on some level we can all relate to this story. I can't tell you how many times I've watched with disappointment everyone, and I do mean everyone, get picked to be on a team before me. The taller ones, the more muscular ones, the more athletic ones, they were always chosen ahead of very uncoordinated me. Or perhaps we remember in middle school or high school not being asked to dance while everyone seemingly had a date on the dance floor. At one point or another, we've all either been the youngest or the smallest, or we've been overlooked or undervalued for our age or our appearance. But the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance. The Lord looks on the heart. God does not choose what is obvious to human eyes, because the truth is that our human seeing often causes us to overlook so many things. Samuel trusted his eyes. He was looking for visual appeal, beauty, height. But our eyes can fool us and deceive us. God was looking for a leader with heart, with character. The truth is that God often sees possibilities and potential when others do not. God chose David, a young, small shepherd boy, not a CEO, not a Calvin Klein model, a shepherd. And by the way, he was from Bethlehem, which was not very impressive. And his family was not exactly the kind of family you'd want for royal pedigree. His great-grandmother was Ruth. She was an immigrant and a Moabite. And his great-grandfather, Boaz, descended from a Canaanite woman. Moabites and Canaanites were unclean foreigners, enemies of the Israelites. David's family tree was less than ideal in the world's eyes. But God does not see as humans see, and God sees possibilities and potential when others do not. You see, it's the line of David that leads us to Jesus, who himself did not fit the standards of human beings. But God finds possibilities for grace in unexpected places and in unexpected people. While others are looking for power and influence and success, God sees the hidden depth of the heart. God looks for the beauty of one's heart. I wonder, in our humanness, are we like the Pharisees in the gospel lesson for today? Are we blind but we don't know it? Our sinfulness and our brokenness, our own sight, so often blinds us to God's intent and to God's grace. We need God to help correct our vision so that we can see like God does. Not on the outward appearance, but on the heart. Our human seeing makes it hard for us, if not impossible at times, to believe that God can find possibilities and potential even in us for God's grace. In David, the world saw an unimpressive, unknown, unvalued shepherd. But God saw his heart and chose him to be an instrument of God's Spirit and of God's will. In Jesus, a carpenter's son from Nazareth, by the way, can anything good come from there? In Jesus, the world saw an unimpressive, unlikely Savior. And in Christ, God's anointed one, the Messiah, God's love and grace took on human form, forever giving us hope and salvation and eternal life. And grace upon grace upon grace. The story of young David being anointed king reminds us that most often, the vessels that God chooses for God's grace are not the obvious vessels that the world would choose. Remember last week, the story about the Samaritan woman at the well? She was an unclean foreigner, and she had come in the middle of the day to avoid seeing anyone. And yet, after her encounter with Jesus, she left her water jar behind as she ran to tell her people about Jesus, because she herself had become the vessel, and she was bubbling over with the living water. God does not see as humans see, but God looks on the heart. God doesn't choose vessels for God's grace based on appearance. God doesn't dismiss or ignore vessels because they're cracked or chipped or the paint is flawed. It doesn't matter to God where a vessel comes from, or whether the vessel is unimpressive or unknown or unlikely. God looks on the heart, and God finds possibilities for grace in unexpected places and in unexpected people, even us. Thanks be to God. Amen.